What's happening, everyone? My name is Matt and I am SecureD, and this is the SecureD podcast. Thank you for tuning in again to episode 20, which is a little mini milestone, which is really exciting. It's only taken about 4 years to get here, but we finally did it. Paul's back today. I feel like we had a really good episode. He didn't swear too much for a change, which is not, which is definitely out of the ordinary. And he also forgot to bring the shoes to me today that he was supposed to bring, which is definitely not out of the ordinary. So I kind of feel like that's a bit of a net neutral position for Paul. We talk about a lot of things, a lot of variety of topics, from Drake to Virgil, the Undercover React shoe, NMDs, 574s, pretty varied podcast. So it was a lot of fun to record. If you do have any podcast suggestions, please hit us up on Twitter with the hashtag the SecureD podcast or SecureD podcast. We'll find it. And we'll give you a shout out if we use your topic next time. So thank you for tuning in. We should have a couple episodes in the next month as well. We're trying to get a few more guests in as well as Paul. He does regularly suggest that this is the SecureD and Paul Newman podcast, but sorry, buddy, we're not changing the title. So thank you for tuning in again. I hope you enjoy it and we'll see you again soon. But like, yeah, no question. I think that LeBron nutmeg is, whether or not he meant it is irrelevant. I think the fact that he got it up with the left as well is just obscene.
But nobody cares because it's LeBron.
Yeah, I care. LeBron should be MVP every season.
He's not going to be this season.
Yeah, but what happens in 5 years when we all sit there and say he's better than Jordan?
How does this work? How can you be the only guy to score 30,000 points, 15,000 assists, 15,000 rebounds?
Because he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, yeah. But then they're like, nah, but Jordan's better. Yeah. Because he's got more rings.
I don't like that argument. I hate that argument.
But Bill Russell doesn't count either.
Yeah. Look, okay, so we have started recording. I hate that argument. I have this fight all the time with people because I think it's fun. But I think we'll sit back in a bit of time and regret not appreciating what LeBron is doing over the last 3 to 4 years.
He's in his 15th season.
No scandal, Paul. Still with his family. What was the worst thing that ever happened to him? Bad PR advice. And the money he got from that.
Went to the children.
Yeah, went to the children. And how much money has he given back to the community? And how much has he done? What was Jordan? Never publicly outspoken and never stood up for the rights of the players and his people.
You know what I do love about that that special? When he says he's going to Miami, or he says he's going to South Beach, there is a kid in the background that's visibly heartbroken.
Someone should have worded that kid up before and not put him up the front. All right, well, we are doing the podcast, so I think one thing to point out today, which is important, is that these are Paul topics. So I threw the reins of the podcast over to Paul today.
No, it's not my topics because you clearly censored me because I wanted to talk about whether chicks with shoes are hot. You said no.
Yeah, I did say no to that. I didn't want to put my foot in that minefield.
I'm not talking about like regular women walking down the street with shoes. I meant like, you know, on Instagram and stuff, the girls that are like with shoes, wearing sneakers and nothing else.
I get your point, but I'm like, well, like, are you talking about like soul collector Stacey Keibler poster moments, or are you talking about
your soul collector, like your Kicks Tokyo, like your Like a Beast, you know, that kind
is
of
that deal. For me, no.
No, right? It's no, not.
It's not for me. But I do appreciate the fact that a lot more women wear sneakers now. I think that's awesome.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the other one, like the Kicks Tokyo one.
We got through this pretty safely and straight off the top of the podcast. I really tried to bury this topic. In 2 minutes, we've talked about LeBron and this.
Yeah. But do you know what I mean? Like that. Like, I don't find that sexy or anything. It's just like if you cropped it and the chick was still in the same photo, it was the same photo, and she didn't have Jordans on or whatever, I wouldn't go, oh no, that's not cool
anymore. You would say that Stacey Keibler poster was iconic at the time, like that Soul Collector poster was.
Yeah, but most people don't even know who Stacey Keibler was. They just went, oh, big titted blonde chick with.
No, well, she had shocks on. I still remember that. But yeah, no, I get your point. I think for me, it comes down to the fact that I just think it's awesome. I remember being like 18 and thinking like women don't wear sneakers. Like you never saw it. So now I see girls in like whether it's Boost or Air Force One or whatever. I think that's cool.
I was wondering where you're going with that. I thought like I was gonna, you wouldn't be like, I remember when I was 18 and I was.
PG. Don't try and get me in trouble so early. All right. So yes, clearly censored, but well done on putting your topic straight back in at the top. And it's great we got through that pretty safely. But before we dive into it too much, have you picked up anything since I saw you last?
So I still have those off-white Jordans coming. The Converse thing apparently is or isn't coming. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't know either, Paul.
What else have I bought? No, I don't think I've bought anything.
No? That's so weird, because like usually it's the other way around. Usually I'm just jealous of what you've bought.
But... Oh, no, I bought two pairs of Black Cement 3s.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, so no, I haven't got anything now. I've got two pairs of Black Cement 3s.
Yeah, but I've got four pairs of Black Cement 3s now. It's like, I don't need one for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you'll never have to buy one ever again.
Well, if they don't explode on me.
Yeah, they'll explode. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, they will. That's I wrote this giant conspiracy theory once for my old blog, which was like, how sneakers became currency in the future, and someone had to travel back in time to ruin the foam, so that like ruin the composition.
But I'm told like if I put my foot in it and walk around in them a bit, they won't explode.
Yeah. So my experience and experience from and information I've got from people who have been around way longer than me, whose opinion I respect, suggests that the best thing to do is to wear it once or around the house for a day or something, and actually just break it in a little bit. And then it's going to last a lot longer. It's when you go straight for the wardrobe for 20 years and you pull it out that it's going to blow up and explode. So, and I would say that that's probably true, because I've got Air Max 90s that I've been wearing for 14 years that are still perfectly fine. But if I pulled out a 14-year-old Air Max 90 now, they'd blow up. Right?
I think so.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I still wear old Safari 90s and Silver Surfer 90s, and they're 2002, 2003 releases.
They're bringing back the Safari soon. Yeah, I saw it today.
So, yeah, so yeah, I think I still wear mine. No sole separation, they're still fine.
How do you wear a Safari? It's an odd colour.
Yeah, but they're really... This isn't the orange one. This is, like, the dark blue-brown one.
Oh.
Which I think is really nice. But yeah, so... I think there's got to be some validity to that argument, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up, I got hooked up with a pair of 270s today. I know you've seen these in a few colours because you took some photos of them, but I took a chance to wear them this afternoon before the podcast. And have you worn them yet?
No.
Okay, yeah. So I think they're pretty rad. I like the five types of stitching weave on the upper. I think that's a nice touch. The padded collar is sick. I do feel a little higher in the heel than I thought I was going to. But yeah, I mean, it looks like a modern, remember like there was that era of like in 2003, 2004, there was those like Trey Stars or whatever, the Nike SB. And then there was the EQT, no, the, not the EQT. It was something EQ. It was like, there was this weird Nike shoe that had this like plastic toe box, which had the same sort of perforations over the top of it.
Yeah.
Just reminds me of that. But obviously a super modern version. I like the shape. But yeah, I've got to wear them in a little bit more, but...
Are they comfortable?
I think they are, but I mean, in the sense that super padded heel, collar, which is nice. I like a padded collar because I got blisters at the moment.
So why Air Max 270 over Air Max 360?
Yeah, I always felt like, I don't know, I never felt super stable in a 360 from a running perspective. I know these are more of a training or casual shoe than that. I mean, I probably wouldn't run in the 270. I'd run in a pair of Reacts or something. But yeah, I don't know. I like them. I put up a picture on my Instagram of me with...
And if the Vaporfly is like their new best air technology thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So then why would you make a 270?
Well, you got to do... I think this is just a modern update to the Air Max line, right? And I think that's... I mean, how many 90s and 180s can you release?
You can. You just add Vaporfly.
Well, doesn't this just complete...
Vaporfly there, bottom of the...
Doesn't this just complete the unity? I mean, it's every 90 degrees. I think it's... You know, I'm sure there's a scientific... technical aspect to this shoe that I probably should have researched.
Except the new Air Max 180 is probably more Air Max 100 or something.
Yeah, it's so funny. I remember when they launched the 360 and they did the 180 at the same time, and they launched them as part of the Nike Plus series.
Yeah.
So I was doing promo for Nike back then in shopping center cinemas, talking up because there was Nike Plus ads in front of cinemas, like in the trailers, and then you'd come out and there'd be all these computers and people training. Those 180s were so uncomfortable that I used to do the training sessions in my socks. They were one of the worst shoes I've ever had in my life, but the 360s were great. It was pretty funny because I did it with my brother and we'd have Slurpees and KFC and people would be like, aren't you promoting running products? I'm like, we're skinny, aren't we? Like, we run a lot. Like, surely the shoes are great.
Fuck off, bitch.
But yeah, it was, I quite like them. I think they're, you know, street style wise, good enough. Because I can't wear an Air Max Plus. That's a little bit too much for me. I used to wear them when I was a kid, but I don't think I can pull off an Air Max Plus now. But yeah, I like them. The white's nice. The black's nice. The launch color's too much for me, but yeah, stoked. And then I got Cherry Blossom Fast Breaks in suede, which are pink suede fast breaks. You know I like fast breaks. I probably have more fast breaks than anyone else in the country, which is like 9 or 10 pairs.
Yeah, which isn't hard because it's you and...
yeah, but I like them. So they're Converse Fast Breaks. I'm a sucker for pink shoes. Shout out to Jason for his ripped eye job on my fast breaks. But
is Nike Nike Plus is dead, isn't it?
Pretty much. Yeah.
They don't because they don't.
The watches. You don't need the pod in the shoe anymore.
Oh really?
Yeah.
How do they know how high I'm jumping?
I couldn't tell you. I never used it for the height stuff. I don't know about the basketball implication of it. I'm long since gone. I haven't worked for Nike for 5-6 years. 5 years. I don't even remember, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to remember when you're escorted off the premises by security.
I wasn't escorted off the premises, but I just never went back. I don't know exactly what the deal is there, but... just two pairs for me since the last podcast. So we'll run into the first topic, which is a huge moment last week and still has no resolution, so worth bringing up. Which was the rumours of Drake leaving Jordan Brand. What do you reckon? I read into this a little bit. I have a theory on this, but what do you reckon? Where do you reckon this rumour came from?
You know what? I don't really care. Because do you really think... I don't think Drake, wherever he goes, is going to make a shoe that is going to be worth anything.
Here's a question for you, though. Is Drake the best asset Jordan Brand have, other than... Jordan. I'm going to be honest. I think it's hard to pick anyone more important to Jordan Brand than Drake. Who are you going to... What NBA player are you going to pick? Kawhi?
Russell Westbrook?
You think Russell Westbrook sells more shoes than Drake? No chance in hell.
Do you think Drake sells more shoes than anyone?
Do you think if they put Russell Westbrook 1 and an OVO 8 or an OVO... 12 or
and they did it in the same numbers.
The same day.
Same numbers.
Who does more numbers?
Same, but the same quantity.
That's what I'm saying. They put out the same numbers. Who does more on the day? Drake does more on the day, for sure.
Well, the last few Drakes didn't sell out, right?
I'm pretty sure they would have got close, at least in 24 hours. I couldn't tell you. I honestly don't know. But my assumption would be that they got close. But this is the thing for me. Drake has global appeal where Westbrook has NBA appeal. So it's a whole other scale of famous. Right? So who else are you gonna pick? Kemba? Like, or any of the Charlotte Hornets? You're gonna pick
DJ Khaled.
Yeah, is he more valuable? He hasn't even had his own shoe yet. Except for the sneaker freak.
Drake doesn't have his own shoe.
Well, there's OVO shoes.
Well, DJ Khaled has that We the Best shoe.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
That red We the Best shoe.
Yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have a feeling this is the kind of thing to me that sounds like someone's PR marketing agency kicking up a fuss to try and get a better deal next time.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is like Drake not wanting to leave Jordan Brand, but wanting to get more money out of his sneaker endorsement or get like a Drake Jordan 4 or whatever he wants to do. I can't imagine going to Addy at the moment. With respect for everything Addy's been able to achieve in the last 2 years, I don't know if you go to Addy today, you know? I think you go to Addy a year and a half ago, maybe, but I don't think there's any doubt that Addy probably doesn't have the heat today that they did a year and a half ago, yeah. At least from the hype perspective, and that's all I can really
I think Addy's, Addy's dead, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I definitely say there isn't lineups for Addy product every weekend like there was a year ago. Which leads us onto another.
But isn't that really later, just Addy's fault because of the way that they like pump things out?
Yeah, you can argue it is pretty traditional for Addy, to be fair. I think
Addy does the one limited run
and then one slightly less limited run, and then one for everybody.
So what I got,
which I like to call the Oprah run.
The Oprah
you
run.
Get a shoe. You get a shoe.
The Oprah. The
O
run.
The O run. You all get a shoe.
That's how you sell shoes. You want NMDs back? Give Oprah an NMD. Put a little car on the footbed for a joke. But here's something that worries me. I remember being in the Emporium shopping center in the CBD here. One Saturday morning, and there was an NMD release, and there was 7 colors, and I just went, yeah, it's dead.
That was NMD day, I think.
Yeah, but still, Paul, seven, and what's so important about it? Nothing, they're just NMDs.
But do you remember the Tubula?
Yeah.
That was popular for a minute, and then
yeah,
they did the same thing. They dropped like a crap ton of colors, and see you later.
Yep, and all the Yeezys are blowing out in volume now too.
Yeezys will still sell.
They will still sell, but no question the resale value's come down, right?
Yeah.
Definitely come down.
Because he hasn't released another model in a while.
Nah, and let's be honest, what's the chance of him releasing something as aesthetically of its time as that was? Probably not great. It's going to have to be super dad at the moment to catch that heat.
Well, that Yeezy 500 is...
Yeah, but so you tell me, Paul, how does anyone know how to cop that shoe?
Online, isn't it off Yeezy supply?
Yeah, something like supply. Yeah, but still, like, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's because you're old. Like, the youngins know how to do it.
Yeah, it's because they got nothing better to do. But I was also that guy 14 years ago.
The youngin knows where it's at. Like,
but I think you know, the whole Drake thing. I can't imagine him leaving. I think it's more just a hustle. It's a side hustle, maybe, to try and get a bit more promo.
I don't even understand why Drake is popular.
Yeah, but that's a whole other argument. Like, he's not my type of hip-hop artist. Like, no, the guys that I listen to today, like, most people wouldn't care about. But
the only Drake songs I like are the ones where he's shrapping. He's not quite singing, he's not quite rapping, he's shrapping.
Yeah, he's T-painting without the auto-tune.
Yeah.
I get that. But, so yeah, I don't think he'll leave Jordan Brand. I think we'll see a big Drake shoe in the next 6 months, and it's all just hype leading up to that. It's great promo. It's great promo if you know you have Drake stitched up and then you drop a Drake shoe after all the hype. Because what are you doing? You're building up excitement and generating discussion, and then you drop a new Drake collab. Smart. Because every time I see something like this, I think, what are they building towards? You know? Like, the whole Giannis thing built up, Nike signed him. Now we're getting a Giannis shoe. You know, Addy sent him a truck
Giannis,
full of Yeezys.
Giannis doesn't care because he's too busy pressing that bell.
Yeah.
Ding.
What do you mean, ringing the bell?
Oh, you didn't see Valentine's Day? So
no.
Valentine's Day, his girlfriend gave him a bell that basically said ring for head.
Mm-hmm. Paul, you can't say that on the podcast.
What? Okay.
A bit much.
Bang for fellatio. Tap it. Tap it for fellatio.
Yeah.
No, and then he went on Insta Live. He went on Insta Live and was like, the Greek freak can now be a freak on the court and a freak in the sheets.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Oh my God, that makes
you've never
like
seen
the
that
Charles
video.
Charles Barkley poster in the 80s where it was like, I'm not a role model. That is a
and he's holding the bell.
A freak on the court and a freak in the bed is the greatest catchphrase he could have ever hoped for.
So,
oh, that's so good. I love Giannis. I didn't know, I probably didn't know that.
If Nike were smart, his first shoe should make ding noises every time he's walking around.
Or it has like bed sheets in the footbed.
Like ding, 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 ding.
Pillows for your feet. There you go. There's all sorts of things you could say.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
No, extra headroom.
Paul.
What?
Oh, that's what? Not okay. So I guess we'll keep on the Adidas thing here. So you sort of posed me the question is the NMD dead? I don't think it's necessarily dead. I think it's just not care. Like, it's not hyped anymore, right? I think there's still plenty of life in a shoe after it hits that hype phase. Like, people still bought shell toes for 12 months after people stopped giving a shit about shell toes.
No, but shell toes is
classic and timeless.
It's kind of like a legacy shoe, whereas the NMD is very much a shoe of its time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't see people 30 years from now wearing NMDs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you would also say...
Because the shell toe is very much rooted in hip-hop culture.
Yes, absolutely. No,
right.
Yeah, no, probably more than any other shoe.
Right.
Arguably,
so,
at least.
But I don't see kids walking around with it with no laces.
No, but no. I would... The only shell toe I would really want to rock is a Run DMC pair.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So there's that shoe. But I don't think the NMD works the same way.
Yeah.
Right?
So the neighborhood one would sell out, right? But it's neighborhood, so you could put neighborhood on a box of tissues and it would sell out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, is the GR selling out?
No.
So I've heard no, but instead of like getting a lineup where you sell out 30 pairs on a Saturday, you still probably sell six.
NMD is Adidas as a Roche run.
Yeah, it was. Maybe not even close to the same level, to be.
Because the Roche run clearly sold way more numbers.
The Roche run, or Roshi run, whatever you want to say, is probably the biggest shoe of the last decade.
Does Nike still make them?
I honestly couldn't tell you. Probably not.
I haven't seen one.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen one for a while either. But I'd say it was the shoe of the decade. The
only problem with the Roshi run, it was the fact that shoe was fucking indestructible.
It was so, for considering it was basically a canvas upper, it really did not fall apart. My black pair lasted so long.
I've still got the original first colorway.
Yeah.
That shoe hasn't died, and I'm taking it everywhere.
Yeah, you need to make that shit more destructible so I can buy more. Yeah, I reckon, no doubt. I think if you could look at, with the exception of things like Chucks, for instance, and white Air Force Ones, and all the staples that you sell hundreds of millions of, I'd say probably the shoe of the decade. I can't think of anything that's had a bigger impact than that in the last 10 years. That shoe changed everything. That pretty much changed a trend. Like, that changed the direction of trend. Yeah, but I don't think that would even get close, because the thing about Ultra Boost was, people like you and me know who the Ultra Boost. My dad bought Roshi runs, you know what I mean? Like, that's different. Like, that's when a shoe becomes insanely profitable.
I think the problem with the Ultra Boost is that they added boost to everything, and it was
real quick too.
And the average consumer can't tell the difference between an Ultra Boost and a Pure Boost. And
I couldn't tell you the difference.
I couldn't tell the fucking difference. Well, I can. Well, they both feel different.
Okay.
Right. But then it's really hard. So, like, you know, I tell somebody, you really need to go try this Ultra Boost, blah.
Yeah.
And they go in and they try Pure Boost or something, and they'll be like, it's not that great.
Yeah. And, right? and that happened to me, like, not being an Adidas aficionado. When I see a wall of Boost product, I don't know what I'm looking at.
No. Yeah.
So, funny, I'll lead us on to the next one, because we said they did a lot too quick. And we talked about this guy a bit in the last podcast, but something you posed me was, I think I might have said to you was, has Virgil done too much too quick? And I'm getting the feeling that, like, we're getting Virgil saturation at the moment. Like, there's the new Blazer, there's the Vapor 12 Elite, there's the IKEA collab, there's just so much.
Vapor 12 Elite?
Yeah, he made a soccer boot, man. He's got a Nike soccer boot.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think Nike saturated him. I think he oversaturated himself.
Sure.
Like, he went and did IKEA shit.
Yeah, yeah, not blaming Nike.
He's got all the other shit. And really, what is kind of interesting is that out of the 10, I think the Blazer became the sleeper hit. Because, in the long term, I think the Blazer is going to be the shoe that people can wear all the time. Cause totally. That Presto
will come off. We both said Presto at the exact same time. Yeah. I agree 100%. I picked the Jordan 1 as the shoe of the year, but in 5 years, people will look back at that and laugh, I think, to be fair. Like, deconstructed swoosh that gets caught on everything, like, that's what people will say.
Yeah.
And
the Zoomfly is a running shoe, which fucks your ankle if you walk around in it too much.
I think that's a good point. I didn't like the Air Force 1 as much as I hoped I would, but I think the Blazer was really strong. Do you like the black version?
I haven't seen it.
I saw pictures of it today. It got leaked out. It looks pretty strong. But I think it's also maybe not necessarily his fault. I mean, the amount of press he has got for like 16 Nike collabs? Let's say 16, because there's 10. There's all the other VaporMax colors. There's the other Blazers. There's and then, the other colors of the Jordan.
But then
one.
He's got his own clothing line.
His own shoes, which he's pushing too.
Which I think it's funny, because his own shoes just look like the Nike shoes without Nike branding, but nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
And then he's got that Murakami.
How does that happen? How does Murakami do a collab with him? Like, well, Murakami doesn't paint most of his own shit.
No.
Like, newsflash, people. Like, you really think he paints everything? Like, no. He might create an outline and then his interns paint it for him.
Yeah.
Fine, that's what happens when you get to art god level. Like, but...
he's clocked the game.
He's Warholed it. We just talked about Warhol before the podcast. Yeah. He's hit like Damien Hirst Warhol level. Like,
But the thing is, what's interesting about him is that he's like... how would I describe... He lets you behind the curtain and he lets you see all his all his minions paint.
Yeah, yeah. It's no joke for him. He knows. He lets people tell. Like, yeah, I don't think it's no like magician secret.
It's kind of interesting in that you can get to a point in which then you go, fuck it. Everyone can see. I don't care. Look, I'm not doing it. I know you're friends with him, but I think that's the same thing with Sabotage. Like, he just went, like...
Yeah, no, I'd say it's different. I think people have known the entire time that Mark didn't necessarily paint everything.
Did you? I didn't know until...
Sabotage is a brand, not a person.
Yeah, but I didn't know... But in the beginning, to be fair, I always associated Sabotage with Mark. I didn't really know that his whole family did, or like he's got his own... that posse thing until those Hypebeast videos where...
Yeah, I think that made it... Well, I call Mark my big brother, so I potentially have far more inside knowledge on this than.
But it doesn't seem to have wrecked his brand at all. Do you know what I mean?
Nor should it, because he pioneered the aesthetic and he absolutely painted every single pair of shoes for years and years.
Yeah, totally. But then it's quite interesting that there are certain things that you can do that.
Sure.
And it doesn't really affect you in any way.
Yeah, but you would argue it was the same thing. It's like New Balance doesn't make their shoes in the United Kingdom anymore. Does anybody care? Like,
no, that's different. It's more like, I don't know. It would be like those Kors companions. If you found out tomorrow Kors doesn't design them,
I wouldn't be surprised,
but he still makes it seem like he does.
Yeah.
But the Snoopy Uniqlo Kors thing. Find out that Kors didn't draw it. He just got.
Kors didn't draw it. He got a picture.
Or whatever, and he put an X on it or whatever, right?
It's movie presented by Guillermo del Toro.
That's pretty much it. Do you know what I mean?
Mark designs the shoes to his credit. So you're buying a design, and to be fair, Sabotage extends to the wife. To me, that's and it. Then, yeah,
I've never gone. Oh,
here's the other thing. Sue and Corey have painted more shoes than any other sneaker artist in the world.
But his wife is never at the forefront with him, is she?
She is now, absolutely.
Yeah, she's now.
Yeah, yeah.
But then back.
But that's evolution, right?
Yeah, but you wouldn't know that. But you wouldn't know that though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, probably.
The average Joe does not know that.
Yeah,
I would say even maybe. I would dare to say 80% of the people who buy his products. Don't know that he doesn't.
3 years ago, maybe. But the one thing I will say about Mark is he never hid it. But you got to remember, Mark stopped painting shoes for years and started doing art shows. So when he came back and started producing shoe runs again, that's when Corey and Sue came on board to help him produce runs. And then you got to think what happened then. He got the G-Shock collab, he got the Metacom collab, after then, he was doing video content.
But I'm saying nobody would have known until he started making those videos, right?
Sure, but why should you promote?
But there was no drop-off.
I'd say he's more popular.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's funny how there are certain things that you could do that have no drop-off.
Yeah.
And then there are other things where you sort of go...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But is a $500 pair of shoes from Sabotage the same as a $30,000 or $100,000 painting from Murakami? Depends how much money you earn.
It's all relative, right? It's only worth whatever...
People pay for it,
right? Yeah. And like Murakami clearly doesn't paint his shit, but it doesn't seem to be a drop-off either.
No, well, I'm sure he paints, but just not everything. I'm trying to support him. I don't know either.
But do you know what I mean?
No, but yeah, I totally get it. I'd say it's a change in what the brand is for Mark. So the brand now is Sabotage. Sabotage is a brand. Mark, Corey, Sue work for the brand. Second Native works for the brand.
But do you know what I mean? But for me, I associate Mark as Sabotage.
Yeah, but maybe just that's like, your problem.
No, but that's... I'm the average... The average person is going to do the same thing. It would be like tomorrow... You taking the Secure D name, turning it into a brand, everyone's still going to associate it as you.
Yeah.
Even if you have, like, I don't know, 10 little lackeys drawing your shit on Robots.
That would be nice.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, totally. Right. I think we're on the same
page. Because if you go Secure D fucking Kid Robot
thingy. It still is if I design it.
Yeah. But the thing is, Mark, does Mark design all of them, or yes. does it? Okay, but either way, right? I would, right now, I used to own a piece that you painted,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, otherwise, you know, if it tomorrow it became the Secure D Kid Robot Shoe, but Fabrice didn't do it, but you know, yeah, Wong in the China sweatshop does it, right?
It changes the value. So
right?
I agree with you in the sense that, yes, if it was so external to the brand, however, those people are full-time employed, hand craftsmen working under the person that was originally deemed to be called, like, Sabotage. So I'd say, for me, it doesn't bother me. It's the same way, do you think these guys who are punching out 15 pairs of shoes for the NBA every week paint every single pair? No chance in hell. But at least Mark puts the people who paint the shoes in the
I don't think... Does the shoe surgeon... I don't know what the shoe surgeon guy... I wonder, like, what he does.
I know Dom. Let's put it this way. I don't know Dom. I've spoken to Dom, let's say...
I like to think there's no way... Times. There's no way he's doing it all himself, because
There's no way in hell.
His output is so fucking fast.
There's no way in hell. But, like... Yeah, I mean, whose responsibility is it to promote who produces every single pair?
Oh, what was... Before Dom, what was the other guy's name?
JBF.
Do you think he's upset that he just...
JBF's still around. I haven't seen him for a while. He went off to do his own thing. I think he started trying to produce his own shoes.
He tried to produce his own shoe.
And after that, I don't know what happened. Because I spoke... we did a collab. I spoke to him for quite a while. He was one of the guys that was around, like, way back.
He should have stayed in his own lane and just kept making fucking customs or whatever.
Python Jordan.
He should have. I reckon every time he, like, turns on a Hypebeast or whatever and he sees the shoe surgeon or Dom's done another shoe, he would just be like, fuck that guy.
Probably. I know when I see people... I get green sometimes when I see people do shit. Because I'm like, fuck. 6-7 years ago, Mark and I were the only two people in the world employed doing this.
I laugh whenever the NBA guy shows off his new airbrush shoe and they're whack. I laugh all the time. And I'm laughing at you. I'm not laughing at the shoe. I'm laughing straight at you.
there's some cool ones, granted, but sometimes I look at them, I'm like, do you seriously have 5-year-old taste? Like, do you have child taste? Like, they are shite.
Yeah,
some of them are so shit. And I don't think people don't send them to me and make fun of me going, Fabrice, you couldn't get a shoe on so and so, but look at this. And I'm like, fuck you. Like,
it's always the guy that does that airbrush, because there's something about airbrush. I don't know what it is. It's not quite detailed enough, but it's detailed, but it's not quite
detailed
enough.
This is very challenging me to talk about Paul, because I know a lot of the boys that make them.
I don't. So I was just saying, it's not quite, do you know what I mean? There's something about an airbrush picture that you can't.
You don't get the crispness.
Right? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time I look at the airbrush shoes and I'm like, you cheated. Like, it's just cheap airbrush tricks. And it just depends on what your value system is, right? Like, do you want a stencil piece of artwork, or do you want a piece of artwork that someone has like slaved over for 20 hours that is literally artwork? I think the thing that makes me different and why I don't get jealous of this shit is I make art for shoes. End of the story. Do I make custom sneakers? Yes. But my perspective is different. I don't go and stencil pictures of...
I think it's funny. I think it's funny when dudes like paint like Ren and Stimpy or some shit on a shoe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's like all these comments that come after us like, fire, where do I get one? Blah. And it's clearly ass.
I know. I don't know what to tell you, Paul. Am I proud that like I was a part of like building this scene? Yes, but does it shit me sometimes more than you can ever know?
You're like that guy
in that room over there. Have I lacked sleep in that room over there a number of nights because of it? Absolutely.
You're like that guy that created their UFC and then sold it for like. $10,000 or some stupid $100,000.
But. You know Shane McMahon tried to buy the UFC?
Yeah, yeah. I watched that. I listened to that, is it 30 for 30 podcast thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Good story, imagine that. Vince McMahon, I'll never own an organization where I can't guarantee the victory of my athletes. Next minute, XFL. Anyway, moving on.
Or does he not?
That's the first thing I'm going to say, is it rigged? But yeah, look, by the same token, Paul, I think... What has made a lot of these guys exceptionally famous now is access to celebrity. And to be fair, I don't have that in this country.
No, I say all the time that if we were
If I lived in America,
I would be doing this full time. But I'm just saying, a lot of the guys that are creative in Australia, if we all lived in America,
It'd
be different.
Whole different scene, man.
I don't know how many times I've been ripped off in my life out here.
Yeah, I know.
Stupid.
I know. I feel the same way. I almost moved to America. Like, we've talked about this. Like, I almost moved to America in 2012, 2013, thought about it for that exact reason. I was like, if I move to Portland, I can get a two-story studio for $200 a month, put a bed in there, and I'm paying less in rent. I'm paying the same amount of storage rent as I am in Australia that I would be to be living in Portland at the time in this artist studio. And I'd have access to celebrity.
But then you'd end up working for Nike.
Probably. Is that a bad thing?
I don't know. Would you have gotten in trouble with Nike?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. But I mean, if Nike gave me a ball.
Yeah, but but instead of getting the Australian band hammer, you would have got the global band hammer.
No, because there's Kelshimi. I'm so sorry, I can't pronounce her name. The girl who's doing all the Monarch customs at the moment, she works for Nike, man.
Now?
Yeah, now. I know, back then, I know. Don't think I don't also get shitty about that. Anyway, we'll move on from that. So, we were talking about Virgil. Has he done too much? And we've gone down a bit of a black hole. Has he done too much? I think he's getting close. Like, I think you want to manage...
Has he maximized his...
No, because he hasn't sold 150,000 units.
No,
but I guess it depends on what you consider saturation. I can tell you, I've only seen his shoes on the street maybe three, four times. Not a lot. When I know how many they sold in the country.
I know because I think it's on the resale market because every time I wear one of them, somebody goes,
ugh! Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, he's wearing them.
Yeah, I know. I don't have any shoes that people do that for anymore. Because I just like, I buy shit I like now.
And shit you like are basically given to you.
Basically, a lot of it.
You sold out. You sold out.
I'm not sold out, man. I'm not. Hey, Virgil.
Hey, speaking of selling out shit, like,
be careful. What are you going to put me in the deep end
for? What happened to those Anderson Converse?
Anderson?
The
J.W. Anderson?
Yeah.
I cannot talk about it.
Ah.
Yeah. This is when you just whisper things to your friend on the podcast. J.W. Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. I always remember it as G.W. Anderson. That's why I was like, "Go, it's
okay." Yeah, let me Anderson ask you this, Paul. Do you know who J.W. Anderson is?
Isn't he a fashion designer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fucking just got out of that. I wasn't sure you'd be able to answer. Okay, one that I've been dying to ask you about as the Allen Iverson interview plays, where he's clearly just off his balls in this interview. If you see it during the Philly Charlotte games,
apparently his wife gave him back the trust fund money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
She could have dicked him, but she gave him back the Reebok money.
It's my favorite. Oh, my God, they're Louis Vuitton sunglasses. I thought you were broke. Anyway, moving on. The Supreme Air Force One NBA collab ball. Is this the biggest piece of shit you've ever seen?
Yes.
Yes! I was not sure if I was going to get you on board because it's an Air Force One.
No.
God, I hate that shoe so much. It looks like a fake garment I would see in a market stall somewhere. It is the laziest, cheapest piece of shit ever. Part of the reason I rant about Supreme sometimes is I think they're blatantly taking the piss and people still buy into it, and it shits me.
The thing is, I understand the genesis of that shoe because in Japan and stuff, there was a phase, I don't know if it's still kind of in, where they're really into like all these kind of patches and shit.
Yeah, that's definitely still going.
So I could see how that shoe is sort of a play on that patch thing.
Yeah.
But...
Okay, I gotta be honest, I didn't think of that angle, to be fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Patch and badge thing isn't as big as it was 6 months ago, but yeah, it's definitely still around.
It's very much a play on that patchy badge shit. But then, God, it's ugly.
So ugly, man.
But
the Air Force One mid, the worst,
does anyone like any mids? I don't like SB mids.
No, I don't think mids like mids. I think mids took off in America for a little period of time. And they've always been available here when the highs are never available here.
What's that Australian skater who passed away from diabetes?
Are you asking the wrong guy? I'm long out of
No, they just recently did an SB.
Oh, I know who you mean, but I'm not going to be able to call the name.
It was a mid. And I went, fucking mid. I guess he wears them. He must have worn them or some shit.
Yeah, sure.
It was a nice colorway and everything. I was just like, it's a mid. I'm not going to wear this.
Yeah, look, I hate them. I don't own anything Supreme, but... I
was annoyed that the middle batch of, they did that low K canvas Air Force One.
Yes.
And then they did the high tops.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody was after the high tops and everybody became an Air Force One head.
Yeah.
And then it's gone again.
Welcome to my problem with the Air More Uptempo, Paul. Welcome to me being the only person who wears them again for the next 5 years.
Oh, what happened to all the people who were like really big Air Force One heads when Travis Scott had his shoe?
What about the people who liked Puma discs 2 years ago and I had 40 odd pairs?
Yeah.
But yeah, that happens. That always happens. But yeah, I don't much care for it. It'll be interesting to see. Surely it'll sell out at Supreme.
Oh yeah, the Puma disc did come and go, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
What made it come back?
Just a few cool collabs. Bits. Ronnie did one.
The A-Life had one.
Yeah, it was heaps. Monkey Time had one.
Oh yeah, that Monkey Time one was cool because it was black and white.
Yeah, that's my favourite one. I still got two pairs of the Goonies.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's the weirdest
part. Your favourite one was the Monkey Time one?
Yeah. Black and white executed well is timeless.
Yeah, I was in Tokyo and the owner, the manager of Monkey Time was showing me the shoe. He was like, you like Puma disc? And I was like,
I know someone who does.
Yeah. And then he showed it to me. That was also the time when he said that Steve Aoki was in the store. And I was like, that's not Steve Aoki. He showed me the photo.
Asian racism. It's just another kind of Asian with long hair. Oh, that's so good. No, I don't remember that story, but that's gold. Okay, so you brought up, and I just saw pictures of today for the first time, the Undercover React.
Yeah.
What the hell? What is that, dude?
Like, I don't mind there's one colorway I don't mind, but the red and yellow one?
Whoa,
that's going to be a tough wear.
That is such a tough wear. Like, where did that come from?
Undercover, clearly.
No, like, but I just feel like, the market just dropped React. Like, goddamn, you go in the
deep. Do you think the React was a success?
Yes. I can put it this way. I wasn't going to talk about this on this podcast, but I will. Two of my best friends, Justin and Tristan, mid-30s, one a very successful artist, one works in public policy, government, extended, whatnot. We don't need to get into that too much. Between them, I think they have 5 pairs.
I haven't seen anyone wear one.
Justin and Tristan are both sneakerheads, but not sneaker collectors, in the sense that they don't have thousands of pairs of shoes. Justin is a little bit.
Yeah.
But Tristan double-copped on launch and pre-ordered, and then...
Have you seen anyone wear one, though?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anyone wear one.
So my mates that I classify as sneaker enthusiasts, people who really like sneakers, not sneakerheads, very different.
Mm.
Double copped, and yeah, I know a heap of people. I've seen them; they're nice. I haven't tried one or run in them or anything yet because I don't have a pair. But yeah, I probably know. Let's be honest, Paul. I don't have a lot of sneakerhead friends anymore.
Yeah.
I have 7 or 8 friends, just everyday friends, that have Reacts. I think that is a massive success. I couldn't tell you what Nike's numbers are.
No, I couldn't tell you what they feel like. So Nike, if you feel like giving me a pair.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I've got 2 seconds, I can't talk. But
I know, right? At least you're on a seating list. I don't even on a seating list.
But yeah, I think it went well. I think it's going to go really well. I mean, we both probably said it was going to be the shoe of the year in the last podcast, from memory.
Yeah.
And I think it still has the potential to be. The launch was huge. It was everywhere. You couldn't avoid it.
No.
All the Australian athletes were behind it on social media.
They had that big React House thing.
How sick was that?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get to go.
It looked sick.
All
the Nike staff were posting it.
Everyone on Instagram that was cool seemed to have gone to. I was like, oh, wow.
That was awesome. That was bonkers. I look at that and go, damn, that was expensive.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I mean, I'd say so.
Well, actually, I looked at it and gone, damn, I would not have fit in that slide. I would have been like Homer. Just get stuck.
My favorite Homer Simpson moment of all time is when he gets stuck in the vending machine and they have to get the ambulance and the fire brigade to get him out. And then they realize he just hasn't released the can. He could have just let go the whole time. I think that, yeah, I see ball pits and I think DNA disaster.
Yeah.
That's all I think when I see a ball pit is like, that is just going to be gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think so. I can't wait for new colors. It has to come out on new shoes.
I kind of...
Can we get like React 90 and stuff? Surely we do.
I don't think so.
No?
Oh, well, actually, no, I lied. They did that. I was surprised they slapped the vapor... the
sole on everything.
Yeah.
But it's Nike, right? Like when patent leather popped off, paper was on everything. You know, 95s are on everything. Like, it happens.
I'm waiting for the Vaporfly boot.
Yeah. I can't wear anything with a knitted stock.
Oh no, like you remember how they were making the Air Max 90 winterized boot for a while?
Yeah.
Or have
yeah,
you blocked
yeah.
that out of your mind?
Buy, no, you can still, they still come out, like I reckon every year or every second.
So I'm waiting for the Vaporfly boot.
With waterproof knit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be something weird. Well, you've got a soccer boot.
Or the freaking fly knit chuckers. Remember they were big at one stage?
Yeah. Shit, I love those. And the rejuvenates too.
Yeah, all gone.
At the same time. Yeah, but I think that's Nike. That's what they do better than anyone is they move on. Right? They move on. They get like new shit. I think that's what's so hard for tier two sneaker brands is like Nike have a hit every month. Sneaker brands, tier two sneaker brands might have two or three hits
did
a
you,
year.
Did you buy a pair of Black Cement 3s?
No.
You know,
well, we don't need to go into my financial situation, but I ain't buying shoes at the moment, man.
Because I was surprised, like they released the line, which is basically just the white cement threes, and then they released the black cement threes, and then this Air Max Day, what they've got the Japan Vaporfly 97
like
combo, the Sean Wotherspoons, they've got the whole Safari pack.
Surely the 270s somehow tied in there.
They're releasing, so they're releasing the animal pack, sorry.
Yeah, and then the Atmos pack. Don't, yeah. Can you get me the, can you get me the Air Max
ones? I have no idea. I don't think so.
Okay.
And then, they're releasing the Safaris, the OG Safaris.
So funny. I just said I can't afford shoes and I asked.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they are doing a lot. Yeah. It's interesting because there isn't that big moment, like big moment.
Was the animal pack what they voted to bring back?
I don't know how that worked because it was the Atmos the year before too.
Yeah.
Which I passed on for retail and then all of a sudden it's worth $800.
Yeah. Is it $800 now?
I saw some pairs selling for dumb money.
Damn. I've got a pair sitting at home.
But. Yeah, I love that animal pack shit. Like, I really liked it back in the day. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, but you only like the Air Max 1, right? You don't like the...
You know what's funny? I like the 95, but I like the Air Max 1 of this way more. Yeah, I like the Air Max 1 more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love 95s. The Para 95 is one of my favorite shoes.
Yeah, I got a Para 95.
So nice. Yeah. All right, we're running long. So there was something else here that you have that I didn't know what you meant. I think I know what you meant, but I'm a little bit more biased to this shoe, and it's its 30th anniversary. It's the 574.
Yeah.
And you said 574 noob shoe, and that was your topic suggestion.
No, I say, is the 574 the New Balance noob shoe? So every brand has...
Is it the Air Force One?
It's like the
Air Force One a noob
it's
shoe?
The gate, it's a gateway shoe. Shoe? No, it's different. It's a gateway shoe, right? So it's a shoe you buy, and then... Once it's for example, the New Balance 574 is the first. If you want to get into New Balance,
it's normally
the shoe you buy, and then you never buy again. And you look at it, you go, "Fuck, that shoe's kind of ugly," and you never buy it again.
So right? Rumor has it is I supplied a couple of photos for this 30th anniversary, a couple of the shoes for this 30th anniversary thing, because I have the Josh Wisdoms, I have the Hazers, I have a whole bunch of 574s. But I used to buy them when I was in Asia in the early 2000s because there wasn't a big New Balance presence down here from a lifestyle perspective. You couldn't buy them. So I used to cop them overseas, Japan, Hong Kong, whatever.
Because it's got such a bulbous toe.
Yeah, right? I think it's funny. So the noob shoe, is it the entry-level shoe? Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
So when you said noob shoe, I didn't know what you meant. But yeah, I'd say it's absolutely the entry New Balance shoe.
Yeah.
I like the 1500. I think that's my New Balance shoe of choice.
But do you know what I mean? It's the shoe that... you know what it is? It's the ugly girlfriend in your past that that every now and then someone goes, "You own one of a pair of those?" And you go, yeah. I was just starting out.
Yeah, but the New Balance 574 Mad Hectic Stussy collab was cool. The Kicks TYO collab was okay.
It's cool because it's a collab. It's not cool because if it was just a colorway on a shoe.
I've seen the dumb ones I used to buy in like Hong Kong. But yes, I agree. I understand your point. If it wasn't a Stussy Mad Hectic shoe, would people think that multicolored shoe was cool? Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, and I can't think of, for the life of me, any other brand that has a shoe that is so specifically...
Oh, a noob shoe?
Yeah.
Superstar. Pretty bloody close.
Oh, but there are people who...
take the history out of it, right? Because let's be honest, a 14-year-old girl doesn't know who Run DMC is at the moment.
No, but that shoe will see. Oh, is
it?
Yeah,
it is, because you'd say 574. That's true, because
I own one pair of Superstars and I never wore them again because they hurt like shit.
I own one and it's the Dark Horse ones and I just bought them because of Frank Miller.
Yeah, and then you never buy another one because I think
we might have nailed it.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think anything else I suggest is going to be as good.
Yeah, I guess so, right? That's the shit. And then what? Reebok is the Reebok Pump, would you say?
Yeah, the pump fury. Everyone has the Jackie Chan pair, and everyone has anything else.
Oh, but the Instant Pump Fury, I guess, in Japan, they love it, right?
Yeah.
It's different.
No, I don't think that's the same. Is the Puma Suede the same? Maybe.
If I was to buy Puma, I'd probably only buy Puma Suede and maybe Blazer Glories, but I only buy Blazer Glories because of that affinity to Sneaker Freaker. I don't really...
Well, as all the boxes are on top of my...
Yeah, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't buy any other reason,
I
right?
I probably wouldn't be buying Blazer Glories if it wasn't for Woody.
No, yeah. Right?
Yeah, no, I think the Shelto might be the next best example of your point. I'm sure people...
I can't think of a Nike one.
No.
Think of a lot of Nike mistakes that I've done over the years.
I've got plenty.
Because when you're first into it, everything, you go, yeah, dope.
Yeah,
dope,
as soon as you collect anything. Dope. Yeah, dude, for 3 years, I bought a pair of shoes every week.
Air Max Lights are my fucking... Like, you know the Air Max One Light?
Yeah.
Or the Air Max 90 Light, I think it is. It's the one that has, like, less...
The Air Max Ultra, too?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of shit. Like, but the 574 is that quintessential... noob shoe. You're like, oh, I want to branch out a little bit. I see New Balance thing.
There's almost no shoe. Chucks are pretty close, but I'd say there's almost no shoe when I travel Asia that I see more than 574s.
Oh yeah, the Asians love that shoe.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And you walk into a store and there's 30 of them on a wall, not just two.
Although I took photos of the Sneaker Freaker 576. Sorry, is it 576? So, 576. The new one, right? Was the same colorway as the 998. I did it for the up there store.
Okay.
I didn't feel compelled to buy it. It's the first Sneaker Freak issue that I didn't feel compelled to buy.
Yeah. Well,
especially because I own the 998. This was
That's fair enough.
And I bought some ugly Sneaker Freak shoes. I bought the Diodora Taipans, which. I've never worn.
The Elven one is the one I didn't like very much. But
no, see, I like the Elven because I like purple, but then...
See, I don't rock ASICs.
I bought the Lacoste things.
Oh, did you? No, the Lacoste one at least is like... Was that the first collab?
I think it is, right? It's the first one, and then they did a recent one recently.
Yeah, yeah. So the first one I give props to. It's the first collab, man. Do you first... I did four Globe shoes, man. Do what you can.
Yeah, I like... I own those Lacoste shoes because of Sneaker Freak and Woody. I don't think I'll ever wear them. They just sit there.
No, it's cool to have, though.
Yeah.
No, I think you make a good point. I think it is the New Balance noob shoe. People are probably yelling at this podcast, like, listing all these freaking things. If you have an idea, please use hashtag security.
Either that or there's a guy right now with, like, seven buzzer balls. It's like, fuck yeah.
I think I have six or seven pairs.
And they're all collabs?
No. Wisdom, Haze, Kicks TYO. Then I have an Easter egg one, which is just a colorway. It's just an Easter colorway.
Yeah, yeah.
Black, white, gray, which was a staple for ages. I have the Sprite one, which isn't a Sprite one. It just got called the Sprite one.
Yeah.
And then the 7-Eleven one, which just got called the 7-Eleven one, but it's not the 7-Eleven. It's got
Clearly, New Balance wants it to become the entry level shoe again.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's the cheapest shoe to make.
Yeah.
They're releasing all those colorways. They're about to release the JP colorway.
Really?
Yeah, the 574 is a JP colorway.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm a 1500 guy, but it's funny because, do you reckon New Balance will come back like that?
No.
I don't know if they will either. Not at the moment, not when all this like hyper...
it's not even that. I think the problem with New Balance is then the dollar is fucking them.
Yeah.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, I love 997s, 998s and all that kind of stuff, but then I can't drop $300 for a pair of 997s.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's tough.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The Stussy collab cost me $300.
Yeah.
Right? For the 990. So I'm just like...
basically a dad shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a 990. Sure, it's a suede 990, but it's still $300.
It's still a suede, like, basically a GR suede shoe. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've gone long this episode, but this is a good one, and we got through pretty much unscathed, minus the Giannis Antetokounmpo moment. So
I feel cheated that I didn't swear today.
You swore, Paul.
I did not.
You swore like four times. If you go back and listen to this, I think you definitely did. I think I said I dropped the F-bomb two or three times, but I think you dropped it a couple more.
But apparently I'm being relegated because you're going to get other people on this thing.
Well, the whole point of starting this podcast originally was to have a variety of people on, but I think what we're going to do is, like, you're my monthly guest, and then I have special episodes in between where I get... So Chase is going to come on.
So I'm, like, your main bitch, and then you're going to get, like, a whole bunch of side bitches. All right. As long as Chase knows he's a side bitch. But what I'm thinking is, why can't I also be there and then talk to Chase as well?
Because I don't have three mics, dude.
Do you really need three mics?
Yeah, because if someone sits there and talks, like, it's going to be awkward. I could probably figure that out, to be fair. But then it's going to go long. Let me work on that. Sure. I'll work on the three mic thing.
Because you're going to go talk to Chase, right? And I have a lot of interesting things to talk about with Chase, because he's tried to restore three of my shoes. He's one out of three.
I don't want to bring that up, Paul.
I do. He's one for three.
Well, I'll bring it up. I'll tell you the podcast.
Just like Paul's disappointed because, you know, you started a new thing and I was trying to be supportive and I brought shoes and one for three.
Okay. Well, I don't know what that means, but we'll investigate that after the podcast. So if you listened and you've made it to minute 53.
Yeah, he's listened to, Chase might be listening to this and he's like, fuck this, I'm not going.
Yeah, no, he's going to. Oh, he knows I'm going to be nice to him. It's fine. You're not going to be here. So,
wait, you said you were going to work it out. Now, all of a sudden, I'm not being here anymore. All of a sudden, I'm blacklisted.
No, Paul, I don't know about you, but I have shit to do, and it doesn't necessarily involve going to buy new mic equipment.
I'll find another mic. How hard can it be?
Can you find...
You got an extra hole. Everybody...
No, that's headphones. That's headphones.
Oh, okay. Disappointing.
Yeah. If you can find me a Rode adapter with three Rode mics, done.
Can't I just find you an adapter that has like two heads and you can stick two mics to it? It's the same shit.
Do you reckon you go 2-2-1? No, because it'll come in on the same feed. It'll be confusing when you listen back to the audio.
Will it?
I think so.
You don't know that.
I know. Well, you research it. I ain't got time.
Yeah, I researched it. It says no. You know, that's what I'm going to do.
Paul, please, if you come back to me with some shit, I don't want to ruin everybody's night. Everybody's time. Everyone comes to my house. We have a good time. Yeah. We give him shit. We get over it. 5 minutes later, it's a good time. We have beers. I don't want to have to then go and edit this when you leave at 10 o'clock. And then go, oh, Paul fucked us. The audio's bad.
I was like, why listen to me? It's not the Paul and Security podcast. It's the Security podcast. So at the end of the day, the onus goes back on you.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. You got your name in lights. It's not the Matt Damon movie. It's the fucking director is.
I can't believe I did not bring my shoes to get custom again.
Paul, so I think in all the time that we've been friends, you've been supposed to deliver shoes 6 or 7 times. And I think you've come through twice.
Yeah.
And that 6 or 7 is because the two keep getting pushed back. So I reckon you're probably at about 20 or 30% for shoe delivery.
Yeah, it's hurting. It's hurting.
All right, well, if you've made it now to minute 55, thanks for tuning in. If you've got any topic suggestions...
Fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck.
Oh, fucking hell, Paul. Please hit us up on Twitter with the hashtag SecurityPodcast.
We have a Twitter?
Well, I just have a Twitter and then I...
Oh, it's your Twitter. All right, yeah.
Well, it's not my Twitter. It's a hashtag, Paul. SecurityPodcast podcast is a hashtag. Anyone can post about it. I do have Twitter.
Do you?
But they don't have to post it or at me.
Has anyone posted on Twitter?
Yeah, a couple.
Really?
Yeah, questions.
Is it all the people that we know?
It used to happen a lot when the podcast was like weekly or fortnightly.
Oh, are you saying it used to be when was it just me on this podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so now Chase is coming up. All right, see you guys.